Okay, now it's working. No, the battery was low, but this. Okay. Okay, back to where we're talking about wearing on Shabbos non-clothing. Okay? So let's get to medical things because they're very practical and very common. Okay, a regular Band-Aid you're allowed to wear on Shabbos in the street because it's insignificant and therefore it's what's called bottled to the body. It's completely part of the body, and therefore it's not a problem. Now, if you have wounds that are not covered with medication, so then, lechatchila, you should use a very cheap Band-Aid that's disposable. Because then it's throwaway, so it's bottled to the body. So then it's not called carrying. Rather than using that to your handkerchief, in other words, the fact that there's ointment on the body, so the question, what is the usage of the Band-Aid? So if it's a cheap Band-Aid, that's for sure no problem. If it's like a handkerchief or a more expensive type of material Band-Aid, then Poskim right, it's better not to use it because then it's not navdafka necessarily bottled to the skin. One second. That's if there's no medication on the wound. If there's medication on the wound, so then you're allowed to even use a... How you peel it off? Okay, we discussed this. You have to be careful not to cut letters. The sticky part is okay to take off. And you could put the Band-Aid, like we said, not wrapping it over itself, but you could put the Band-Aid laying flat. Because what sticks to the skin is not called gluing. But when you stick it to itself, like a Band-Aid, you normally put the glue over the adhesive part over itself, that's not a problem. The same thing you have really with the diapers, disposable diapers. So originally, you should know, people were saying you're not allowed to use those, the adhesive. Velcro? No, not the Velcro is not a problem. It used to be the glue, no?
Yeah.
Okay, so then they said they used to get pins those didn't work. The pearl, everybody now is makel, even the poskim are all makel, that and the diapers, you could take off the adhesive and put it back on. Now they have, years ago, it was easier, by the way, because when you stuck it on, and when you pulled it off, you ruined the diaper. So then it wasn't an issue, mommy, you sure were ruining. Now they're made to re-stick. So when you take it off, it could be a shiloh, but even then, all the paskin, it's not a problem to do it. The real problem, by the way, I'll tell you what the problem is. Not putting on the diaper when you need it. A bigger problem is when the diaper is fresh and you take it out of the pack and then you undo the adhesive to put it on, that could be a bigger question. Why? Because when the company makes those diapers, it's not a shiloh pearl, everybody's makel on it. But I'm saying the issue could be because when the company makes the diaper and they stick them together, the adhesives, right? That's made to last who knows how long. So now when you're opening it up, you're unsticking a permanent sticking. So that could be a shiloh, but even that's not a shiloh. But the bottom line is, so the same thing with a Band-Aid. The only problem with a Band-Aid is because you're wrapping it over itself and it holds better than a diaper and it's not necessarily made to last temporarily. A Band-Aid could be on there for days. Nobody's going to leave a diaper on for days, you know, because obviously you have to change the diaper. So that's not an issue.
But Rabbi, I remember people were strict on that. They would open it.
What many people who were strict then would be before Shabbos, let's say they needed, for argument's sake, 5 diapers. So before Shabbos, they would undo the thing and put it back, stick it back on, so then it wasn't made to last for a day. So then it was, but you don't have to do that either. Okay, Now, you have to be securing a Band-Aid. Okay, you're allowed to put, let's say, a gauze, and you can fasten the gauze connect with a Band-Aid around it. But again, the Band-Aid can't be around itself, but you can fasten a gauze to the skin with a Band-Aid. Ace bandages you're allowed to wear, let's say, you know, around your ankle or something, an ace bandage you're allowed to wear on Shabbos in the street. If somebody, God forbid, has a broken hand and they need to wear a sling, so again, the sling becomes part of the body, and because it becomes part of the body, there's no problem going out with a sling on Shabbos. What?
How about the tie around the sala of plastic?
The tie around the plastic? Okay, the ties, not this tie. The tie that you put on the plastic bags, okay? There's a big machlekes in halacha today, contemporary poskim, if you're allowed to use them or not on Shabbos. Because when you close it, you're making it, it's basically a knot. You're tying. That's why it's called a tie. So many poskim say, especially if you're going to leave it on there for a long time. Let's say you're going to close up a bag and put it into the freezer, right? You have a challah left over, you're going to put it back into the freezer, whatever. So then for sure you're making it a tie. But a lot of the poskim hold you allowed to, Stevie, bring down as much from the Alter Rebbe that you're allowed to do it. So again, there are people that do it, there are people that don't do it. But if somebody wants to be more machmer, when they get it from the bakery, if they want to be machmer, before Shabbos, they should undo the tie and then redo it, because then they're not intending it to be there for 24 hours, so then it's not a real knot. Because when the bakery closes it up, their intent is to last as long as you want. You can put it into the freezer, it can last months. But therefore, if you do it before Shabbos, you undo the tie and throw it back. But again, you really don't have to do it. Okay, casts, splints, all those things you're allowed to wear on Shabbos, it's actually part of the body. If somebody has dental braces or dental retainers, they're allowed to wear, but that's only if you wear the retainer the whole day. What happens if you only wear the retainer part of the time? Let's say you only wear it when you sleep. So then, and let's say you want to walk to somebody's house to sleep on Friday night. So now the question is, can I wear that retainer in the street Friday night to go to the place where I'm going to sleep, where I need to wear the retainer? So that already is very questionable in halacha, because the fact that you don't wear it permanently, it's not actually a garment. It's like, we'll soon get to, reading glasses that you don't wear constantly. A person who wears glasses constantly is allowed to wear glasses on Shabbos. There's no question about it, you're allowed to wear glasses on Shabbos. But glasses that you take on and off, like reading glasses, so then there's a fear, according to certain poskim, they say it's not called wearing it because it's not a permanent thing that you're wearing. You put it on sometimes. But other people say that because you put it on and off a lot, you're going to be afraid Shabbos, you're going to be walking in the street, you're going to take off the glasses, the reading glasses, because you're not wearing them the whole time, and you're going to end up carrying in the street. But otherwise, glasses are not a problem. Hearing aids.
A retainer.
A retainer that you always wear is not a shaila. That could be worn.
So let's say it's one you wear at night.
It should not better be worn outside.
But why is that different than pajamas?
No, pajamas are garments.
This is something you wear at night.
No, pajamas. No, a second. We learned already at the beginning, garment, like a coat, yeah? Okay, a coat is a coat. So even if it's 300 degrees outside, you're allowed to still wear a coat in the street on Shabbos. Nobody wears a coat in the heat on Shabbos. I mean, anytime, you know, just don't wear a coat. The answer is, once it's a garment, a classified garment, it doesn't matter if you need to wear it or you don't need to wear it. A retainer that you don't need to always wear. Halacha says, don't wear it when you're in the street. Wear it when you're not carrying.
So at night, you wear it at night.
Yeah, I understand. But they're right. It's better not to wear that during the day, because number one, you don't wear it during the day. So therefore, afraid that you're going to take it out because you're not used to wearing it during the day. And therefore, they're right. It's very questionable to do it.
But at nighttime, like a
go out on the street with my retainers?
At night, if you wear it at night after eating, then you could. Okay, next. Contact lenses, not a problem. They're like your eyes. Okay, the same thing with reading glasses. We said is a problem. You can't wear reading glasses on Shabbos. Bifocals, by the way, or photogray. Interesting, there's a lot of tshuvas written about photogray lenses that when you're in the sun, they turn like the sunglasses. And then when you go inside, they become regular glasses. So everybody rules, the Meshach has his whole tshuva about, but everybody rules that you're allowed to wear those on Shabbos. And it's not called changing the lenses. Like you're coloring the lenses from dark to light to dark, because you're not actually doing anything with it. You're not changing the glasses. So therefore, that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos. Sunglasses is a question in halacha. If you need them because the sun hurts your eyes, literally hurts your eyes, and you wear it always, so then halachically many poskim hold you're allowed to wear sunglasses on Shabbos. If they're prescription sunglasses, then for sure you're allowed to wear them on Shabbos because they're like regular glasses. They're like that you wear the whole time. Now, what happens though if somebody has their glasses broke? Now, it's interesting. In the earlier poskim, they write that if the glasses broke, you're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos. But they used to have a different type of glasses. If you remember, they used to have glasses that didn't go like the way we have on the nose. And then they would have like, you ever see the, they would have like the thing you hold them in your hand or and look through the, the what?
Opera
glasses or things like that. So then, those glasses, the poskim, you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos. But if, let's say, you have a pair of glasses that the temple fell off, but the glasses can still be held. If people would not ridicule you for wearing such glasses on Shabbos in the street, so then you're allowed to wear them in the street. But the problem is, if people are going to make fun of you because it looks weird, so then, you know, you might take them off and start carrying them on Shabbos. Or if somebody's glasses broke here, in the middle, so then you can't wear them on Shabbos. You only have two halves because it looks ridiculous. And therefore, they're going to either fall off or people are going to make fun of you and therefore you'll take them off. What do you mean you can't see without them? Person's legally blind?
No, barely seeing.
What you can't see?
You could see.
Until what can't you see? You're going to bang into a tree and say, I'm sorry. I mean, what are you going to do? Bang into a car.
Extreme inconvenience. You don't care about anything. Who's going to laugh at you? Nobody's going to laugh at me just because you're missing a temple.
It depends. It depends if where they're broken, how they're broken, and if there's an issue with people ridiculing it. Here. Here he says, they might fall off a person. Furthermore, people may ridicule him. But if you replace, let's say, the temple with a string, then it's not going to fall off. There's two reasons why people write, if one temple is missing, you shouldn't wear the glasses. One is because it might fall off, and then you come to carry it. Other people say because people will ridicule you, and again, you'll take it off. But if they're securely fastened, then you could wear it. But a glued glasses with temple missing is very questionable if you're allowed to wear them on Shabbos, because they might fall off, and then you'll forget, and you'll come to carry them.
Or if, it's sturdy enough with one.
Again, if people won't make for this, two reasons in Allah, either because people won't make fun of you or because they might fall off. So if they're strongly Moshe, they're right. Even the Paschim, but if there's a, you connect instead of the temple, you had before Shabbos, a string connecting it, so then it's not an issue.
It's not like, I mean, a little kid would care if they make fun of him, but an adult's not going to care.
You'd be surprised. No other place can him yalbinu. Okay, next. Now, how about walking with the cane or crutches on Shabbos? Again, we're talking, this whole thing is without a native. If there's a native, all these issues don't apply. So what happens today? Are you allowed to use a cane, crutches, a walker on Shabbos? Are you allowed to use all those things? So Halacha says as follows. If you use it in the house, in other words, to walk around the house, you need to use the cane or the crutches or the whatever, or the walker. So then you're allowed to walk in the street on Shabbos because it actually becomes your foot. But if you walk in the house without it, it's just that in the street you're hesitant to walk because you don't feel comfortable, then you're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos. I mean, use them on Shabbos if there's no Erev.
What about those electric chairs, Rabbi, from Israel?
Why don't you first ask about a regular wheelchair?
Oh, a regular wheelchair, right.
No, I'm asking you a question. If a person's sitting in a wheelchair, okay, himself, can he wheel himself?
Right.
It's not so simple. It's not so simple in halacha. Depends. The Paskim write, if it's like not a real Rishus Rabim, meaning it's only like a Midrabanon, so then you could use it to go to Shul, or Tzarech Mitzvah, you're allowed to...
Why? What is he doing?
Is he carrying it?
Even if you use it in the house?
Carrying the chair.
Yeah. One second. Some Paskim are a real chair similar to a cane, and therefore, if you would use it in the house, you could definitely do it. Others say that a real chair differs from a cane. Because when you have a cane is actually your foot. Instead of putting your weight on your foot, you're putting the weight on the cane. So that actually becomes your foot. And the wheelchair he sits in the wheelchair, he transports it 4 cubits in the public domain. So he says you should ask it up. But the Paskin write that if it's in Rishus, not a Rishus Rabim, min HaTeira, so then if it's Tzarech Mitzvah, Shvus, you're allowed to do it, to go to show you that. Now, what's with the electric wheelchairs? One second. If you have an electric wheelchair, they have the ones from Eretz Yisrael that have Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Erbach was matir it. Because it's the way it's set up, the electricity of the wheelchair is set up in a way that it's only indirect power. There's a whole technological place in Israel. It's a machon of technology. And they figure out all the halachic things, how to make a Shabbos phone and how to make... they had, when Begin was prime minister, was Shemir Shabbos. So they created for him a Shabbos phone. Which means it's only indirect, so it's only midrabban in certain cases. You could use the Gans and Lumdus. But you can't just use a regular, what they buy here in America, a wheelchair that's electric, you know, and use it on Shabbos. That's for sure you can.